In the name of our risen Lord, amen. Saint Philip the Apostle, who along with Saint James we recall this day, opens our text with a request: show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. What do we know about Philip? If we relied upon the Synoptic Gospels, we would know precious little, for they contain not a single episode from his ministry, but are content to include him in the apostolic lists. It's when we reach Saint John and his Gospel that we find the career and the ministry of Philip advanced for our consideration. We learn in John's Gospel that he was from Bethsaida, and that Jesus went there and found him and addressed those simple and direct words, "Follow me," and received an immediate response in the affirmative. In fact, Philip immediately ran and told Nathanael, in a very beautiful witness to the messianic hope of the Old Testament, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." That first blush of excitement and sharing the good news of Jesus was not met with eagerness, for Nathanael responded with that now infamous question, "What good can come out of Nazareth?" To which Philip very directly and immediately responds, "Come and see." One British commentator, very politely, says that Philip emerges as a decidedly undistinguished apostle. He writes, "John brings him before us on a number of occasions. Each time he seems to be out of his depth, and it is probable that he was of limited ability. His contribution to feeding the multitude is the information that they could not be fed even with 200 shillings worth of bread. When the Greeks came to him asking to see Jesus, he did not know what to do. He had to consult with Andrew before the men were brought to Jesus." Then this commentator concludes, "It is encouraging to reflect that Jesus went out of his way to find this perfectly ordinary Philip and to enlist him in the apostolic band. Some of the apostles were undoubtedly men of great ability, but Philip compels us to reflect that others were perfectly ordinary people." Poor Philip, perfectly ordinary. And yet, in fairness to him, we have to say that Acts goes on and holds him up as a distinguished evangelist. For he is the one who meets that court official who's reading the promise of Isaiah 53 concerning the lamb who is led to the slaughter. And Philip is asked by this official, "About whom, pray, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" And Philip says, we are told, he told him the good news about Jesus. Finally, in the testimony of the early church, Philip emerges as a great missionary, particularly in Asia Minor. So we're confronted with a sharp contrast. On the one hand, we have this man who's not the brightest, who is even perfectly ordinary, but who is eager to call out to Nathanael, "Come and see," and who's eager to tell the good news about Jesus. Perhaps such an apostle is wise to consider in this week of call services. And perhaps he's a superlative model for us because he comes with a question that isn't entirely appropriate. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. Perhaps a few students may be asking this week, show us where we're going and we'll be satisfied. In both cases, there's a desire, and it's native to all of us, to look beyond Jesus, or to look for Jesus and something else for satisfaction and peace. Jesus' answer to Philip is very instructive. He says, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Philip had not fully comprehended Jesus' point. The fullness of the Father was standing there before him. God's full plan of salvation was there available to him. The lavish fullness and completeness of all of God's promises were realized in that person to whom he had given his allegiance. Yet he wants to see more. And sometimes we have to confess that we want to see more. But in this Eastertide, we join Philip in looking to Jesus and in heeding his admonition to see in him the revelation of God. Luther so beautifully puts it when he says, "We see God in his profoundest and in his openness when we see him on the cross, and when we see that victory of the cross on Easter morning." So we are challenged not to look elsewhere, not to look for our own agendas or our own ambitions to find satisfaction, but to devote ourselves to the display of God's gift of satisfaction in Christ. For that gift, that display, which was here open to Philip, was what empowered him to go forth and be an extraordinary evangelist. Indeed, it might be that in God's strange chemistry of choosing the things that are not to confound the things that are, that sometimes the greatest servants in God's kingdom, those who are blessed most richly, are not those who have always the most gifts. It's our privilege, then, as we look forward as the community of the seminary to sending men out into vicarages and into parishes, to all turn our gaze again to the resurrected Lord and to see there a richness, a completeness, a finality, the perfect, active, and passive obedience of Christ for us, our redemption, complete and secure, so that then we, like Philip, can go and tell others, "Come and see," and we can tell the good news of Jesus as he did. If that is the focus of our faith, there will come satisfaction without looking beyond the cross and beyond the open tomb. For the whole work of God lies as a gift there for us. And it's my prayer that however simple that may sound, and however uncomfortable we may be with planting our feet next to Philip as a perfectly ordinary servant, that this story may never grow cold in our breasts or on our lips, that the enthusiasm of those first apostles may radiate also from our ministries, and that we, like Philip, can go forth adventuring, calling others to Christ, and telling the good news about Jesus. May God grant such satisfaction and such fullness to each of us. Amen.